The truth is, we don't all get the luxury of planning our own death. Tyrone Muhammad is the funeral director at Peace and Glory Home for Funerals in Newark, New Jersey. Known as Muhammad the Mortician, he's using some surprising strategies to show people the true effects of the epidemic of violence that's killing young black men. Charles Monroe Kane sat down to talk with him.
You recently wrote on your Facebook wall, "Tired of embalming so many young people. It's sickening. I wish you could all see my world." Show us. What do you want us to see?
I want you to see that when the young people come into the funeral home, and the countless hundreds, shall I say nearly into the thousands, that I see on a continuous basis, most people see when they come to the funeral home, they see the person, the deceased, looking serene, very peaceful. But that's really just an illusion, because before we put them in the casket, they're riddled with bullet holes. People need to see that when these young men come into our funeral home who have actually been, you know, murdered, they're coming in with bullet holes, their heads is almost shot off, and our job is to give their family the lasting memory of them. So they need to see what we see. We need to see when them holes got to be patched up with that cold cream and that mortuary wax and that hot heat that I take from a stove that a woman would use to do their hair as I melt the makeup and put that on there to cover up them bullet wounds, and how we plaster their head back together, do reconstruction on their faces, and really look into the eyes of the deceased. Because a lot of these young brothers, particularly black men, that I see on a continuous basis, once again, their eyes tells a story. A lot of them was afraid, because when they get murdered, oftentimes they get stuck and locked in and frozen into that death look. And then you can kindly actually interpret what they were seeing prior to them being murdered. So when you see what I see, and I'm overwhelmed, and I'm passionate about this platform, I shed tears most of the time.
Because you're on the front lines.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely on the front line.
Now, you've taken this to the streets and to the internet. I want to start with the streets. Can you please describe, for our listeners, can you describe your van?
I have a van, a cargo van that I turned into a Stop the Violence campaign van, that is wrapped with a picture of Tupac Shakur on it. It says Stop the Killing, and we have an article that was placed in the Star Ledger about the murder of young black men wrapped around it. It's very beautiful, and also I have a casket mounted on the top of it with flashing lights. And everywhere I go is a showstopper. I don't do it to be a showstopper. I do it as a shock value to let the people know that this is the type of state of emergency that we in. And inside that van, I also have another casket. I also have pictures of people I embalm. I show the bullet wounds. I don't show the person's face, but I get a very up and close pictures of the bullet wounds. And I'm telling you, people are moved by that. I've seen people tear, grown men, the hardest thug, the hardest so-called criminal, young black man in the street. I see them moved by that. It's very compelling.
Now, you have, in addition to taking your van out and doing what you do, which is extremely strong and powerful, you have an amazing Facebook presence. I want to read a couple quotes just recently from your Facebook page. Message to the youth: embalming fluid was not made for human consumption. And this one I like: swag counts for nothing when you're laying in a casket. And one that's very powerful: don't let your son's first time putting on a suit be in a casket. Wow. It seems like,
yes, sir,
such death and violence.
I'm going to keep going forward here, Charles, with this message, with this platform. I believe that the ancestors have given me this message, and I'm going to take it wherever I go. Embalming fluid, like you said. Why you want to smoke embalming fluid? Embalming fluid create havocs on your brain cells. It's irreversible. When you smoke dip, as y'all young people smoking embalming fluid mixed with marijuana and other messes that they smoke it with, why would you want to smoke that? Where your brain cells is going to be, can't come back to itself, and you're never going to be the true person that you once was. Why you want to smoke embalming fluid? Swag counts for nothing. I don't care how cool you is. I don't care how cool it is to be in the game, to call yourself a Crip or a Blood, to be out there thinking you about that life. Because swag counts for nothing when you land in the casket. All that is done. Your homies ain't there.
When there's a funeral at your funeral home, and this is all spinning in your head, and you're angry, and you just fixed up a bullet hole in a young man's head again, and you get to the funeral, and there's the kid in the gang colors, Cavassier that he wants to pour in the thing, or a joint that he wants to put in the casket, what do you do?
Oh, girl, man, that's awesome question. I immediately go to the parent. And matter of fact, when I'm making funeral arrangements with the parents, when it comes to a murder or homicide, I tell the families, from my experience, this is what's going to happen. You're going to have an influx of a lot of young friends, which is his friends, to come there. They're going to have bandanas and T-shirts on. They're going to want to take pictures. Now, this is the crazy thing about that, Charles, is that they're taking pictures now and with their faces next to the dead person's face, what is called the selfie,
right,
and putting it out. If that is not foolishness, putting in drugs, throwing up gang signs, putting their bandanas on there, right? So I tell the parents what you want to do. And a lot of times that the parents do, they tell us they don't want that. And how I get the message across to them without putting myself in harm's way,
right,
with
right.
them, I tell the mother to come up. And the mother stands up and tell them she don't want no bandanas, no foolishness going on, no drugs, no Hennessy, no pictures taken. So the mother would tell them that. And I'm going to tell you, 9 times out of 10, the people respect that.
Wow. You know, I'm listening to you talking, and I'm thinking and anthropologically almost in my head, and I think, oh my God, have funerals become a rite of passage to manhood for young black men?
Yes. Absolutely. Unfortunately for a young black man, it's not to go on to go to college and do something great for the community and for self. It's either going to a prison or going to the cemetery. That's the rites of a passage. If you ain't doing that, you consider it a punk. If you ain't doing that, you consider it a sellout, a clown, and everything else. You understand what I'm saying, Charles?
Yeah, I do. But it seems like for young black men that they've become desensitized. That community has become desensitized to death.
That is absolutely correct. Why? Of course. Well, because they were made to be that way. I mean, when everything right now is glorifying death. You understand what
yeah,
I'm saying?
I understand.
We all got to die, but we don't need to die this type of death. If this was going on in any other community, if it was going on in the white community, Italian, Jews, Asian, Hispanic, if they was going on with alarming rate of men that's dying the way they are in the black community, it would be an outrage.
Did you think when you entered this profession, I mean, you were called to be a funeral director, a very honorable thing to do, that this is going to be this political for you, that this made you into a radical? Is this a surprise you?
No, it has not surprised me, because I've been this way all my life. I am a funeral director and a community activist. I've been this way since I was 12 years old. And the reason why I was this way, my father was murdered. My father was stabbed to death in Jersey City. He was murdered. And at 13 years old, my mother brought me a microphone and a speaker box. And I was on the corners of Jersey City speaking out against violence. I didn't really know too much what I was saying at that time, being that age. But all I knew is that I didn't want to see another person such as my father, who was murdered at the hand of another black man, in this type of situation. So when I became a funeral director, I was already a community activist. So this can compel me to put the two together.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Is there something you feel like you'd want to say right now to the community that's listening to this, which I think mostly is the white community, something you want to say to them so they can understand?
Well, absolutely. And Charles, I thank you for the opportunity, for even allowing me to be on
the
platform, man. So those who are listening, you know, particularly in the white community, you know, we all human beings, man. We all separated by whatever ethnicity, but we all human beings at the end of the day. And I know there's a lot of sincere white folks out there. I just want to let you know that we are in a fight for our life, for our survival. We are dying by the tens of thousands. We are putting so many young black men into the graveyard cemeteries due to violence. We have an alarming rate of young African Americans going to an early demise. We buried over 57,255 black men between the ages of 18 to 24 in the cemetery. And out of those 57,255 black young men, and the number is still rising, 90% have been murdered by other black men. So we are asking you to join on to this very important mission, because if we don't all start caring, if it's just the black community, certainly the black man and woman is going to be up in the Smithsonian Museum. And people are going to walk by and say, who was there? What type of people was that? Well, they're going to tell them there was African Americans in America, and they're gone. And their little son going to say, well, how did they go? Why are they not here no more? Because they killed themselves off.
Well, thank you very much, Tyrone. God bless.
God bless you, too. Thank you, Charles.
Tyrone Muhammad is the funeral director at Peace and Glory Home for Funerals in Newark, New Jersey, and he's also the founder of Morticians That Care.